Thank you. Chapter 9, The Most Confidential Knowledge, Text 34. This is a very well-known verse, and a very important verse. Probably some of you are quite familiar with it. Lord Krishna says, Manmana Bhava Madhvato Madhyaji Mam Namaskuru Mame Vaishyasi Yuk Vaivam, Atmanam Mat Parayanat. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me.
Perhaps we can
repeat this verse responsively. You can repeat after me. Engage your mind always.
Engage your mind always.
In thinking of me.
In thinking of me.
Become my devotee.
Become my devotee.
Offer obeisances to me.
Offer obeisances to me.
And worship me.
And worship me.
Being completely absorbed in me.
Being completely absorbed in me.
Surely you will come to me.
Surely you will come to me.
Nitya Kortvai Shri Prabhupada. In this verse, it is clearly indicated that Krishna consciousness is the only means of being delivered from the clutches of this contaminated material world. Sometimes, unscrupulous commentators distort the meaning of what is clearly stated here, that all devotional service should be offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Unfortunately, unscrupulous commentators divert the mind of the reader to that which is not at all feasible. Such commentators do not know that there is no difference between Krishna's mind and Krishna. Krishna is not an ordinary human being. He is absolute truth. His body, his mind, and he himself are one and absolute. It is stated in the Kaurava Purana, as it is quoted by Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Goswami in his Anubhasya comments on Chaitanya Charitamrita, 5th chapter Adi Leela, verses 41-48. Deva-devi vivedoyam neshvare vijite kvachit. This means that there is no difference in Krishna, the Supreme Lord, between himself and his body. But because the commentators do not know the science of Krishna, they hide Krishna and divide his personality from his mind or from his body. Although this is sheer ignorance of the science of Krishna, some men make profit out of misleading people. There are some who are demonic. They also think of Krishna, but enviously, just like King Kamsa, Krishna's uncle. He was also thinking of Krishna always, but he thought of Krishna as his enemy. He was always in anxiety, wondering when Krishna would come to kill him. That kind of thinking will not help us. One should be thinking of Krishna in devotional love. That is bhakti. One should cultivate the knowledge of Krishna continuously. What is that favorable cultivation? It is to learn from a bona fide teacher. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and we have several times explained that his body is not material, but is eternal, blissful knowledge. This kind of talk about Krishna will help one become a devotee. Understanding Krishna otherwise, from the wrong source, will prove fruitless. One should therefore engage his mind in the eternal form, the primal form of Krishna, with conviction in his heart that Krishna is the Supreme. He should engage himself in worship. There are hundreds of thousands of temples in India for the worship of Krishna, and devotional service is practiced there. When such practice is made, One has to offer obeisances to Krishna. One should lower his head before the deity and engage his mind, his body, his activities, everything. That will make one fully absorbed in Krishna without deviation. This will help one transfer to the Krishna Loka. One should not be deviated by unscrupulous commentators. One must engage in the 9 different processes of devotional service, beginning with hearing and chanting about Krishna. Pure devotional service is the highest achievement of human society. The 7th and 8th chapters of Bhagavad Gita have explained pure devotional service to the Lord that is free from speculative knowledge, mystic yoga, and fruitive activities. Those who are not purely sanctified may be attracted by different features of the Lord, like the impersonal Brahmajyoti and localized Paramatma. But a pure devotee directly takes to the service of the Supreme Lord. There is a beautiful poem about Krishna in which it is clearly stated that any person who is engaged in the worship of demigods is most unintelligent and cannot achieve at any time the supreme award of Krishna. The devotee, in the beginning, may sometimes fall from the standard, but still he should be considered superior to all other philosophers and yogis. One who always engages in Krishna consciousness should be understood to be a perfectly saintly person. His accidental non-devotional activities will diminish, and will soon be situated without any doubt in complete perfection. The pure devotee has no actual chance to fall down, because the Supreme Godhead personally takes care of his pure devotees. Therefore, the intelligent person should take directly to the process of Krishna consciousness and happily live in this material world. He will eventually receive the supreme award of Krishna. Thus end the Bhaktivedanta purports to the 9th chapter of Srimad Bhagavad Gita in the matter of the most confidential knowledge. Mammana bhagavat bhakto madhyaji mahamaskuru maave vaishyasi yuktvaivam atmana matparayana. Engage your mind always in thinking of me. Become my devotee. Offer obeisances to me and worship me. Being completely absorbed in me, surely you will come to me. Om Jnanatmananda Sya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshamanatamyena Tasmai Shri Gurudeva Namaha Shri Chitanyanam Vishnam Stavitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakaranayam Dadati Swapadam. Vajikalpat Rubias Chakriva Sindhivyevacha Haditanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Namaha Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasati Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. I just returned from Russia. I was there, well, I was in Lithuania yesterday, and there it was relatively warm. It was about 6 degrees. But before that, in Moscow, a few days before, it was -3, -4, which is not so nice for them. The snow there. Not really fit for human habitation, actually. This is really the situation. Somehow people have moved there. Actually, Srila Prabhupada explains that when Lord Parasara, he is one Shakyamesh incarnation, one incarnation, empowered incarnation of Lord Krishna. Now when he was here on this planet, of course that was long time ago, but he found that the Kshatriyas, the Varyas, and the administrative class of people on the planet at that time, that they were defective in the performance of their duties, and in fact they were really, some of them at least, and by implication, by association, directly or indirectly, all of them really, they were actually abusive. They were abusive of their authority and their position in life. So he decided that these Kshatriyas, they are really offensive, and what they're doing is destructive to the proper standards of society, and therefore destructive to society itself. So he decided, let me punish them and teach them a lesson, or even really, he just became so disturbed, or he was so concerned about their offensiveness, he decided to kill them all. Yes. So, that is a bit of a long story, but he went on an amazing rampage. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata, that whenever and wherever there is decline in religious practice and a predominant phenomenon rise of religion, I descend myself. Puritranaya sadhinam vidashaya cha duskritam dharma samstapanataya sambhavami yuge. In order to deliver the pious and annihilate the miscreants, as well as to re-establish the principles of religion, Krishna says, I have bent myself millennium after millennium. So, Lord Parasuram, he is also an incarnation of Krishna. Shatyavesha, valid incarnation. And he saw that the principles of dharma were under severe, they were under attack, really, from these disqualified people, and that these rogues, actually, were just taking advantage of their positions and exploiting the people and abusing the people and the resources. So he decided to destroy them. And just like Krishna, every day, when Krishna was herding the cows, every day he would kill a demon. Well, actually, a number of demons. This is Vinash, Vinashaya cha duskritam. Those ungodly, anti-godly, and offensive, nasty people, exploitative people. Krishna, every day, there's, Srila Prabhupada, in fact, gives a description in one purport in the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, how Krishna and the cowherd boys, they would go out every day herding the cows, just like we have the big picture over the stairway there, the back. Krishna and Balarama there with one cow. So they would be out there, and every day, just before lunch, just at the beginning of the, very beginning of the afternoon, so now, almost, it was almost uncanny that every day some demon would come and attack Krishna or Balaram or the cowherd boys, and Krishna would kill that demon. Then when Krishna had killed that demon, everyone knew, now it is time for lunch. That was the signal. It was just like clockwork, practically. Every day, he would have it like that. And so they just got into a routine. Oh, the demon is dead. Oh, yes. Time to lapse. And then later in the afternoon, perhaps 4 or 5 o'clock or so, they would be continuing on with their cowherding and playing pastimes. And again, in the most uncanny way, some other demon would just appear on the scene and try to attack them. And Krishna would cure him every day, without fail. And as soon as that demon was dead, then everyone knew, time to go home. Sri Sri Nitai Gaura Hari Ki. It was just the most amazing thing. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the purport there that the boys became so absorbed in their pastimes of playing with Krishna that if the demon had not come at lunchtime and interrupted the pastimes, they would not have stopped playing. In other words, they would not have had their lunch. They would have just carried on. And in the later afternoon, if that other demon had not come and been killed by Krishna, then they would not have thought that perhaps we should go home. They would never have gone home. They would have just carried on playing. So, bloodthirsty though it sounds, and we apologize to any of you who may be faint-hearted or, like Arjuna was feeling at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita. He just couldn't tolerate that some people will be killed. So anyway, but actually it is a fact that the pastimes of destroying the demons, they are prominent. They're prominent in the pastimes of the Lord. So anyway, we were talking about Russia. Yeah. And my point here is that Lord Parasaram, he went on this amazing rampage against these foreign and somewhat even demoniac Kshatriyas and killed them. And then there were some left over, so he came around again, sweeping over vast areas through many countries. And so he came around again and killed them again. And then he didn't get all of them. And then there were some children coming born from those who he had killed, but now the children were becoming adults. So he came around again a third time and killed them. And this went on for 21 times or so, or 20-something times he went around. 21, thank you. 21 times, covering a number of generations, killing these demoniac Kshatriyas. So, the Kshatriyas, they fled from the normal inhabitable areas, means the warmer areas. They left them and went up to areas where there wasn't anyone and where people wouldn't think of going or bother going and where they thought they would be safe from Lord Parasaram. So they went up to Europe and Russia and all those areas. So when you go there, you see that it is not fit for human habitation. If you tried to stay out overnight outside, you would surely die. And people do. They have hobos, as we have hobos also. So they have hobos. They're very fond of vodka, rotten potato juice. Here we have cane. Spirits, right? At least sugar cane juice. tastes nice with potato juice. Don't know if you're there. For human habitation, you have to have thick walls. All the buildings, the walls generally, are about this thick, like several bricks thick. Here we have two bricks normally. There they are, some walls are a meter thick. And all the windows are double glazed, and everything has central heating. So it's not fit for human habitation, really, but still people live there. So it just shows that the conditioned soul has this propensity to become attached. And if you don't watch out, you can become attached to almost anything. Yes. Don't underestimate how your mind could become carried away. Don't think that you would never become attracted to this, you'd never become attracted to that. Yes, we always have to be wary. Yeah, it's like that. Even Srila Prabhupada said one time that when one uses the toilet, one should not stay there too long, because one may become attached to the smell of one's stool. Hare Krishna, excuse us. Again, the faint-hearted. Sorry, but Prabhupada said that. Yes. And he even talked, anyway, we won't talk about that, but it's possible, put it that way. It is not impossible, really. So, it is possible to become attached to something or some condition of life, some situation in life that you would not normally expect to become attached to. You would think that this is not for me, I am different. But actually we have to be very, very careful. Otherwise, there are Indian people there. There are Indian people everywhere, actually, nowadays. And there are Indian people in Moscow. And even, Moscow, that's nothing. Even out of the way places that you've never heard of, right out in Siberia, one place called Irkutsk in Siberia where I go, is like totally forgotten. Actually, people never heard of it to forget it. And those who did hear of it, they definitely forgot it. Most people never even thought about it. So, but there, there's some Indian people there doing business. And there, in midsummer it gets up to plus 45. Sometimes it gets very, very hot. That's really hot. And in winter sometimes it goes down to minus 45. So there's a 90 degree range over a period of a few months, 6 months. That's really hot. But people can become attached. And when I go there, because I've been to so many places in Russia, because I can speak little Hindi, and, none of the white, the Russian people, none of them can speak Hindi. I can speak a little Hindi to them, and this is really something quite exciting for them. So they tell me usually in Hindi, so the others kind of understand how they don't like it, and it's too cold, and the people are like this and like that, and so on and so forth, and how they don't like it, but they're there. They're living there. So that is the statement, really. That is like the prime reality, that they are there. The second part is they say they don't like it, but they are there, which means they like it more than they don't like it. So yes, we shouldn't underestimate our ability to become attached. So therefore we should be very careful and guard ourselves. Krishna consciousness is like that. It is a process how to become protected from the onslaught of the material nature. Well, first of all, how to become free of it, because in the beginning we are caught by it. But once we take up spiritual life and we break free, then how to stay like that, how to stay protected and safe on the spiritual platform? This is very important. This is Krishna consciousness. Yes. And another interesting point is that Srila Prabhupada one time, he was back I think in 70 or 71. Srila Prabhupada went to Moscow in 1971. So just before Srila Prabhupada went to Moscow, he was in Hawaii. Hawaii is something like a tropical paradise, that type of thing. Yes, at least as close as you get it. Just like, something like Mauritius. You know, it's very similar, but bigger. So, Srila Prabhupada was there. And the mango season was just starting, and the mangoes were becoming nicer, and some very nice ones were coming through. So Srila Prabhupada was talking to the devotees about going to Russia, to Moscow, and in Moscow it was cold. It's almost always cold there. Well, 3 months in the year, it's not so cold. Otherwise it's cold. So they're saying, oh, Srila Prabhupada, you know, it's so cold. And it's not good for your health. And so on and so forth. And one devotee said, one lady said to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, it's mango season is coming. So stay here. The mangoes will be very nice. Don't go to Russia. They don't have any mangoes there. So then Srila Prabhupada said one thing, which I'm sure many of you have heard, that preaching in the snows of Russia is sweeter than the sweetest mango. And it's true. It's really true. Because now they do have mangoes there. And I was there in Moscow, and it was -3, -4, and there was snow. It was just, everything was snow covered, and we had some mangoes, and they were nice, of course, offered to Krishna, so they were nice. But to preach, to talk about Krishna, to be in Krishna consciousness, and to worship Krishna and glorify Krishna like this, this is much nicer than even the nicest mangoes. Yes, so we experience that directly. Of course, to have nice mangoes offered to Krishna and preach in the snows of Russia, then you've got both. So somehow we have both. So that's very nice. Anyway, my point here really is that we have to be careful to become Krishna conscious and to protect our Krishna consciousness and not become, you could say, familiar with the process of Krishna consciousness. Familiar with the process of Krishna consciousness means that I have been a devotee now for some time, so I know what is Krishna consciousness, and I am Krishna conscious, I chant my rounds and so on and so forth. So I'm okay. So therefore, I don't have to worry so much about being careful. I can relax a bit and take it easy and just kind of cruise along without being careful and discriminating in a transcendental, nice spiritual way about what to do and what not to do to maximize my Krishna consciousness and minimize my any possibilities of endangering my Krishna consciousness. Yes. So you have to be careful not to become familiar with the process of Krishna consciousness, but to always. Srila Prabhupada said that for a devotee, the devotee should wake up every morning and think, today is going to be the last day of my life. And of course I know when the time of death comes, I have to remember Krishna. Because Krishna says, yam yam vati smaran bhava, chaja yate kalevara, tam tam evai dikonteya, siddhata bhava bhavita. Whatever state of being you remember, when you leave this body, when you die, to that state you will attain without fail. So Krishna says like that. And he also says that if you remember me, you will attain to me. Yes. So the devotee then, Srila Prabhupada said, should think. When the devotee wakes up every morning, the devotee should think that today is going to be my last day. And what does that mean? It means I have to be particularly careful today. I really have to be on my toes today. Yes. For the materialist, Srila Prabhupada said, for the materialist, when they wake up every morning, the materialist should think that I will never die, and definitely not today, or tomorrow, and probably I will never die ever. Oh, so let me just eat, drink, and be merry, and just maximize my sense gratification. Do anything. If it feels good, just do it. That is the criterion. The only criterion. If it feels good. So, for the materialists, if they do not think like that, that I'll never die, I can do what I like, I can do it my way, as the man said. I can just do anything. If they're not thinking like that, and if they actually look at the reality, people are getting old, I'm getting old. People are getting sick, I'm getting sick also. And it's sometimes tough, difficult to get ahead. And even some people die. If they become too much aware of the reality, then their enthusiasm that yes, let us do it, that enthusiasm will not be there. So in order to really gratify their senses and in try to enjoy material life as much as possible, they should bluff themselves. That is what it is. They should just fool themselves that I'm never going to die. That now I'm 40, it's just getting better. Now I'm 50, it's getting even better. Now I'm 60, it's getting even better. I haven't got to that one yet. You know, it's just a matter of fooling yourself. It's just gonna, I can't imagine what it's gonna be like when I'm 80. It's gonna be fantastic. I saw last night, actually, as we were waiting to leave the airport in Zurich, there was a picture of one man. He was a mountaineer in 1929. There was one photo of him climbing the mountain, very robust young man, really, just in the prime of life. And a few days ago, he turned 100. Yes. There was a big difference. There was a photo of him now at 100, a week or so ago. Gosh.
So anyway, Srila Prabhupada said it's like that. For the devotee should think every day that this is my last day. Because one day it will be. But you don't know. Normally you don't know which day it will be. You don't really know. So if we think like that, we'll always be fixed and attentive and careful and painstakingly attentive to remaining Krishna conscious. But if you're just a materialist and you don't care about God and next life these things have no meaning to you, then just don't worry about it. Just think, I'll never die. Then you can do anything. And one day you will die, it'll come as a bit of a shock to you. But at least in the meantime you are happy, sort of, as much as you could, making the most of it. So we want to be devotees. Yes, we don't want to be materialists. Here in the purport, Srila Prabhupada talks about some of the materialists. I don't know if you noticed. He talked about the demigod worshippers. Now they are the best of the materialists. Oh, they are much better than these other ones. I was just talking about it. Just eat, drink, and be merry. The demigod worshippers are much better than them. They're very pious. Trying to do everything in the right way. Very nice way. And earn their enjoyment in very proper ways. But how did Srila Prabhupada describe them here? Prabhupada said, they're unintelligent. They're very unintelligent. Why? Because, at least in their pious way, it may be pious, but it adds up to the same thing, that they're thinking, I belong in this world. Getting ahead in this world is our business, getting money and sense gratification and getting ahead in life. But rather, they will do it in a pious way, rather than an impious or exploitative or sinful way. They'll do it in a very nice way. Like there are two ways you could get some nice thing, like a motor car. One way is you could steal it. Nowadays many people do. Or you could work hard and buy it. But you would end up, or you could worship the demigods and they might give it to you. Yes, so there's a third way. But actually you end up in the same position in every case, that you are sitting in the same motor car after having endeavored in some way. So it is the same thing, but just in different dress. Srila Prabhupada said that one day, I mean, getting back to stool again somehow, sorry, Prabhupada, he would talk about it sometimes. He said, one day, the dry stool was looking at the wet stool and saying, ah, look at you. You're so wet and sticky and icky and smelly, and, but I'm dry stool. I'm not like you. But actually, wet stool, dry stool, we're talking about the same thing. And if you just add a little bit of water to the dry stool, I guess it'll revert back to being wet stool anyway. So that's material life. But as devotees, intelligent people should take to the process of Krishna consciousness to get out of material life altogether. To get out of the cycle of birth, death, old age and disease, which the gross materialists or the more pious materialists or even the demigod worshippers, the most pious materialists, and even the demigods themselves, they're all in that same cycle. A Brahma Bhuvanal Loka Puna Arvartana Arjuna. Krishna says, from the planet of Brahma, the highest planet in this material world, down to the lowest, they're all places of misery. where repeated birth and death take place. After all, we have all been Lord Brahmanas. You might say that of being Lord Brahma, living for such a long time, enjoying so much, you cannot say that it's misery. Someone might raise a doubt like that, that you cannot call Lord Brahma's situation a situation of misery. If you don't mind, we'll just carry on for a few minutes. Is that okay? Just to kind of finish off in an organic way. Yes, so you might think, being Lord Brahma in such a big high position, how can you say it's miserable? But we were all Lord Brahmas. And we ended up here in Lanesha tonight. And some of us are in Russia. And it's worse there. Yeah. So, even though you were Lord Brahma, you ended up struggling here in Lanesha. So, therefore, you can say that being Lord Brahma, that situation intrinsically involves suffering, because eventually you end up here. So Krishna is urging us here that we should take up the process of Krishna consciousness, completely absorb ourselves in Krishna consciousness. And then he says, if you do that, surely you'll come to me. You'll come to me. That means in the kingdom of God, beyond this material world, where life is eternal, full of bliss, and full of knowledge. That is Goloka Vrindavan. That is Vaikuntha. The spiritual world. So we should try and do that and get out of this whole realm of birth, death, old age, and disease, and the dangers of becoming attached to different things and caught up by them, conditioned by them. Then in our next lives we take birth in those types of situations. I was just thinking, the Indian people I met in Irkutsk, they're kind of nice enough, Indian people. And, you know, Hindus, in a broad sense, and they like to come to the temple every now and then, so, you know, they're quite nice. And they were telling you, oh, this year, of course, it's so cold, and the people, they're like this and that, and, oh, it's tough. But they were staying in Irkutsk. They were not leaving. They weren't saying that it's so tough, we're leaving. They're saying, no, we're so tough that we're staying. So I was just thinking, well, next life. Next life. If you prefer to stay here, then Lord Yavaraj will say, fine, take a suitable type of body. So you'll just become very nicely integrated into Irkutsk society. You can be born as a Russian. Yes. It's very likely. So rather than be caught in these dangerous situations of becoming attached to the different material situations we're exposed to, and in that way degraded, and particularly in our next lives, we could be substantially degraded. But we should take to Krishna consciousness, as Krishna is saying here, by doing these four things. Manmana, we should think of Krishna. Bhava Mat Bhakto, we should become his devotee. Madhyaji, we should worship him. Man Namaskuru, we should glorify him, offer our namaskars, praise him like that. We should do that. So yes, we should all do that. All of you, all of us, we should practice Krishna consciousness. But it is, Prabhupada is going to some lengths in the purport to explain. There's not just in any old way that I will worship Krishna in my way, you will worship Krishna in your way, and in this way we will all be worshipping Krishna, but in different ways. No. There is a right way, but there are many wrong ways. Yes. Generally, when you do anything, there are more wrong ways than right ways. Yeah. That is generally the situation. So in Krishna consciousness, it's like that. We have to practice under the direction of the bona fide spiritual master, the bona fide teacher. Not just according to my mind, or any old person, or even some big scholar, but not actually a bona fide devotee scholar, what he may say. No, we have to be very careful. Otherwise, in the name of doing the right thing, we may do the wrong thing. In the name of doing the right thing, thinking, how nice, oh, very good, I'm worshipping Krishna, wonderful, but actually we're going backwards. In the name of going forwards, we're going backwards. Just to give you an example, I don't think he's here now, I think maybe he disappeared, but the devotee was leaving the kirtan earlier, started singing one mantra, which I won't repeat, but it's an upasampradaya mantra. It's like a bogus mantra and degrade, like behind it there's degraded philosophy actually. Yeah. And Srila Prabhupada, and it's in his books and in our sampradaya generally, this mantra is not used at all, and we stay far away from it. But we make the cards, it's very nice. We buy one cassette when we're in Vrindavan. When God, this is Vrindavan. I'm getting the cassette in Vrindavan. It's from Vrindavan. It must be the right thing. And it sounds nice because it's very, you know, catchy. But actually, in the name of going forward, we're going backwards. So we should all learn. We should all practice Krishna consciousness in a systematic way under the guidance of a bona fide spiritual master, carefully taking the position of student. Is that some dangerous living entity threatening you? It probably weighs about a couple of grams. You weigh about, you know, 40 kilos or something. Anyway, he's coming, you see, to hear about Krishna as his good fortune. So, let us try and do it like that. First of all, we have to decide to do it, to become Krishna conscious. But then we have to decide to do it the right way, and not the wrong way. Yes, otherwise, in the name of doing it the right way, doing it the wrong way, and going backwards, committing offences, and so on. So Srila Prabhupada fortunately has given us the right way. Everything is there. How to chant, how to worship the deity, maintain proper standards of cleanliness, proper standards of behaviour, interpersonal relationships, and so on. How to schedule your day's activities, to maximize your Krishna consciousness. It's a science. So, like any scientific thing, deep thing, one has to learn properly. One has to be properly guided. So, under proper guidance then, let us learn how to become devotees properly. Think of Krishna, serve Krishna, worship Him, offer our homage to Him, and then we'll go to Him. But in the meantime, also, we'll be very happy. We'll be very nice in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna. So it's getting... any question or comment? One, perhaps, or two? No? Srila Prabhupada ki